Been a good day, hadn't it? We've certainly needed the moisture, and I know we've got several that are going to have to work around that. We want to keep them in our prayers while they do that, and especially those who are harvesting right now. I know they've got a little bit extra to go through, but we're certainly blessed by what God has given to us. We're talking this morning about heaven, and I wanted to continue that idea this afternoon for the next 11 minutes and just talk about how God has arranged for us to get there. And I want to start by saying this. You know how, for those of you who are parents, for those of you who are children and think about your parents, for those of you who think about your friends, but especially for the parents, you know how you feel about your kids, and you want them to do well. There is nothing that you would do to trick them to put them in danger. And there's certainly nothing that you would do to trick them to try and entice them into death. And with that in mind, when we talk about heaven, God is very straightforward. He talks about exactly how He wants us to live right now. And He tells us if we do err and we fall into sin, how we can come back. But there's nothing tricky about Him. He loves us. And we as parents, we know how well we think we are doing with our kids, but God is perfect. And He's doing perfectly with His children. And so there is nothing that He is withholding from us. There is nothing that we need to know that He hasn't told us. And there is nothing that is put in such a way as we could be fooled by it unless we decided we wanted to be. With that in mind, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. I was visiting with one of the men this afternoon, and he was talking about a new law enforcement person that he's been dealing with, and that law enforcement person has been apparently trying to make a point about certain things, and I guess the main point is they need revenue and they're going to get it. But one of the ways that law enforcement do that when they want revenue is instead of just posting things and letting themselves be seen so that you'll kind of go in the right way, they'll hide. In a place called Rock River, Wyoming, there was a notorious speed trap, and the guy was the law enforcement agent there would always hide at different points in the town. And the thing was, the speed limit just slowed down all of a sudden to where if you weren't paying attention, you'd be going about 15, 20 miles over the speed limit before you had a chance to react, and then it gets you. I think sometimes people feel like God is that way, that somehow He has laid a trap for us so that He can prevent us from going to heaven. But we have to understand that He was so intent on us being with Him forever that He sealed it with the blood of Christ. And He would have never done that if He was trying to prevent us from being in heaven. 1 Corinthians 9:24, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it for a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and I make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. One of the amazing things to me through the years as I've observed people in religion is how many people are running aimlessly. They've got an idea of what they would like, but there is no real purpose to it. They're just kind of meandering through life as if that'll do. And when you talk to them about worship, well, they really don't know how you're to worship. They expect that you can just worship however you want, and that'll be pleasing to God. When it comes to salvation, well, any old way is just as good as the other. As a matter of fact, a very popular saying has sprouted up in the last, I don't know how many decades, but the idea is we're all going to the same place just by different roads. And they really believe that. And so they meander through their religious life, and they're expecting something really good. But when it comes to the games we play, we don't even play our games that way, do we? You sit down and play a game of Go Fish with your children or your grandchildren or your friends, they better not cheat. And if they cheat, you're going to let them know. You get into basketball, even at the second grade level, and you watch some cheating going on, and you just hear how one half will just come unglued as if the most important thing has just been violated in the entire world. Rules are very important. Why is it when it comes to religion, people act as if you can just kind of meander? Jesus was very specific in the fact that he was going to prepare a place for us. And as we read the writings of the New Testament, we find that it really is a place prepared for prepared people. And one of the ways we prepare is not by running aimlessly, but by making sure that we are going as an athlete into strict training so that we're not disqualified. So ask yourself, will you be disqualified for the way that you are conducting your spiritual life right now? In Matthew chapter 22, verse 1, Jesus said this, "Kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to come to them, but they refused to come." We talked about that this morning. If you have an offer for something, the offer may be open to everybody, but the acceptance has certain requirements. Well, here the offer's open, but it says they refused to come. You drop down to verse 11, and we see the people who didn't refuse to come, those who eventually did come to the wedding banquet. In verse 11, when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. "Friend," he asked, "how did you get in here without wedding clothes?" The man was speechless. Well, what's he talking about there? If you look at Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, it says, "We're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ." So when he talks to the man who got in without wedding clothes, he is somebody who is not in Christ. He's somebody who hasn't clothed himself with Christ, and that's very specifically done by a baptism that is done through faith, not through one that's done to you when you don't know what's going on, but a believing baptism. And so if you get there, if you accept the invitation, but you don't accept the terms, watch what happens. The king told the attendants, "Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And so the question becomes this: do you really think that God is going to send people to hell just because they miss a few of his terms? Because I think most people don't think that he will. I think most people, when they see things like that, they think maybe that Jesus is just trying to scare us, or God is trying to scare us. But why would they do that? Why would the one for whom we are told in Scripture it is impossible for him to lie, why would he lie? Why are we staking our eternity on something that we're told is impossible? And yet a lot of people are. They're staking their eternity on God not being serious about this rule, about this qualification, about this command. And they think that somehow God's grace will cover high-handed sin. Sin that is done intentionally, sin that is not repented of. And this is very clear that the ones who do that will be thrown out into the outer darkness. And so we see this. As we've talked about heaven today, and I hope your determination, your absolute determination, is either you know from the Scripture that you are in a position to be going to heaven, or you are going to start doing everything you can to make sure you know what it takes so that you don't miss it. But the two things that are so important is, first, we accept the invitation, and second, that we accept it on his terms. Because there is no heaven without acceptance of the invitation. and there is no heaven for those who refuse his terms. But for those who will accept it, there's eternal life and a really good life until that time. Choices ours. Invitations open this afternoon. If you ever need to respond to the gospel's call, we would encourage you to do that while we stand and sing.